Welcome to Systems Meet Humanity, shining a spotlight on the intersection where business structures meet emotion. I'm your host, Marina Darlo. Let's dive in. Today, Systems Meet Humanity welcomes Mark Mohini. He is a lifelong entrepreneur that nowadays helps coaches get more clients without paid advertising. He's also a speaker, a big name podcaster, and he also runs one of the most engaged groups in the entire Facebook universe. We're going to talk about his paint by numbers methods, about pulling an insane content creation schedule, about the systems he swears by, and much, much more. Hi, Mark. Welcome to Systems Meet Humanity. Great having you here. How are you today?
I am good. Thanks for having me.
I have so many questions to ask you. I know that you help other coaches build successful businesses. And in a sense, this is as close as it comes to systems meet emotion as you can go. So I wonder, do you have a system for that? Like, do you walk the people that work with you through a certain path?
I do. So I've gotten some flack for this because some people say, well, wait a minute, it's not pure coaching that you're doing. It's also a mashup of coaching and consulting, coach-salting, if you combine the two. And I say, you know what? I really don't care. As long as I'm helping people, I don't get too snobby about it. So what I do is a little bit more paint by numbers than, say, other coaches that are, you know, how coaching is, generally speaking, it's more asking questions, listening, pulling answers out of the person rather than saying, do this, do that. But with what I do, where it is business coaching, and there definitely are systems that I want my clients to learn and to follow.
You're preaching to the choir here. But I'm wondering, so I know that everything can be better with a supportive system. I wonder if you could pinpoint what are the unique needs of a coaching business specifically that could make or break building a coaching practice. So is it the fact that coaches are more focused on others than on themselves just by the very nature of coaching? Is it the fact that coaching as a line of work still needs explaining because it's not, you know, if you're a lawyer or a psychiatrist, you hang a shingle and people know what you do. But coaches, it's a little more fluid. So what it is that's unique to coaching, and especially building a coaching business, that requires a certain type of system?
Well, you're right about how confusing coaching can be to try to sell it. I always say it's like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall, trying to explain what coaching is compared to, well, I'll give you a perfect example. My brother edits podcasts. That's his business. He's got several employees and he's going gangbusters. It's very easy for him to describe what his business does. Hey, we edit podcasts. You give us your file, we'll edit it, we'll clean it up, we'll upload it, or whatever. Someone says to a coach, what is coaching? You ask 100 coaches, you're going to get 100 different answers. And most of those answers will be all over the place. They turn it into some mystical thing like the Force in Star Wars, which it isn't. it shouldn't be. It's just helping someone get from point A to point B. But to answer your question, why are systems important? I think they're especially important for coaches because a lot of coaches don't treat what they do as a business. They don't realize that, hey, I'm an entrepreneur, because it's very deceiving. You're often working from your kitchen table with a bowl of Cheerios next to you, and you're wearing your pajamas and slippers, and it doesn't feel like a real business, but it is.
That's the modern entrepreneur ideal, yeah. Right? The hoodie, the...
Not showering for 4 days. No, I'm just kidding. But it doesn't feel like a knife. I sometimes have to remind myself, because my background's in real estate. I was in real estate for over a decade. So I had offices and employees and the physical presence with people walking in off the street and clients coming in and all that. Now I'm dealing on Skype or Zoom or a video conference all day. And often you feel kind of like Tom Hanks' character in the movie Castaway with the volleyball, Wilson, off by yourself here on your own island. So systems are very important for coaches, just to reinforce that, hey, we're actually a business and we got to treat this professionally like a business.
Can you give us a taste of what are the systems that you coach your coaches on that you recommend to use?
Well, first off, with my own business, systems have been very important, because I wouldn't be able to do what I've done since 2014 without systems. So for example, my podcast, which you've been a guest on, we recorded recently.
Thank you for that.
hasn't released yet, but it is going to be released. My podcast, Natural Born Coaches, has over almost 550 episodes as we're recording this that have been released. There's no way I could have done that without a system. You just wouldn't be able to get out almost 600 episodes of a show. Same goes with my emails. I do daily emails to my list and everything else. A lot of my systems have sprung up organically more because of a necessity from doing all those things. I would need systems or I wouldn't get anything else done. When I'm helping my clients, I don't just say, okay, do it exactly how I did it, because every person's different. They can pick and choose. Okay, I like how Mark does this. Maybe they don't like podcasts, so they're not going to focus on podcasts. They don't like writing. They're not going to focus on daily emails. Maybe they're more of a video person. So it's not one size fits all, but when it comes to building a coaching business, you have to make one that works for you and your life. But I do find a lot of my coaches, they develop systems very similar to mine because it's worked well for me. So why reinvent the wheel where it's worked so well for me and for a lot of other people?
I really concur to the fact that on one hand, you want to follow a known system. It removes the need to reinvent it. It removes the discomfort in implementing something new because you already seen how it worked and it's kind of familiar. I do want to add, however, that just like you said, no system works for everyone. And it's important to know that if system A does not work for you, it's okay to implement something different. For instance, if a calendar is making you defiant, and I'm giving this example because I had a client like this, we built him a beautiful calendar with, you know, everything plugged in. He's going to write this module on Wednesday. He's going to do filmmaking on Tuesday for like whatever his latest feature. And then he would come to me and say, I know what I'm not going to do when I look on my calendar. So it's okay to employ a very different approach and scrap the calendar altogether if this is what's working for you. Mm. Speaking of calendars and prolific content creation, you have one of the most engaged Facebook groups on the internet, that at least I've ever seen. And you podcast and you send daily emails to your audience. How the heck can you be so prolific? Like, what's the secret and what's the system that allows you to create so much?
I'm actually starting an Alexa flash briefing today. I'm getting into the whole voice automated, you know, Alexa 1 minute flash briefing. So just my plate wasn't full enough. I said, oh, I'll throw something else on there.
I don't even know what Alexa briefing is.
Don't feel bad. I didn't know until, oh geez, a month or so ago when I started planning it. Flash briefings are short. Usually they're 1 minute. I think they can be up to 10 minutes. Mine's going to be 1 minute things in the morning when people are making their bagels or toast or whatever. They could say, Alexa, play my flash briefings, and any of them that they're subscribed to, just like podcasts on iTunes, they'll come through their Alexa voice activated tower and they'll get to hear my voice and other people's voices as well. I like it because not many people jumped onto the whole Alexa train yet. More people are going to. I just finished listening to the audio version of Gary Vaynerchuk's new book, Crushing It, kind of a sequel to Crush It. And he goes on about Alexa flash briefings there, where I said, okay, I think it's probably a good move to get on that platform. Wow. But to answer your question, when it comes to content creation, there's content ideas all around, but a lot of people are afraid to talk about their own life, their stories. They don't want to show too much. They don't want to pull the mask away on their face where they have to pretend they're perfect. And the result is it ends up being boring content, or they don't come up with enough. So I get content ideas from my life, from my clients, keeping confidentiality in mind, of course. From pop culture, movies I watch, books I read, from social media, going through Facebook group, the group wall for the coaching jungle, my group, I have tons of content ideas there that I can go out. So it's like going to the gym. You got to work your content creation muscles. It gets easier the more you do it.
Wow. The reason I ask specifically is because on one hand, you have the people that are creators that soak up ideas from the thin air, just like you do. And on the other end of the scale, there are people like me, which is I'm very good at bringing you from point A to point B. I'm very, very good in a systematic approach. You give me a problem, I'll take it apart and I'll solve it for you because I think analytically in kind of a linear way. Very often, you're either good at one or you're good at the other. And the creators, the visionaries, they often struggle with systems. They often say, okay, I have all these ideas, but very little comes out of it because I don't have a support structure to execute upon my ideas. So I wonder if, because you clearly have succeeded, you have arrived, your content is out there and it's plentiful and it's quality. Do you have some kind of, you know, a funnel, an approach, a path? Like, how do you do this other than just, I don't know, maybe it's just writing stuff down?
Well, out of the two approaches, I'm less of a systems / spreadsheet guy. You know, some people are really into that. My brother, who I mentioned, he's much more detail oriented. He's more the spreadsheet guy. And me, I have all these ideas, you know, and I want to bring them to the world, and I have to force myself to, okay, Mark, you got to spend an hour on the spreadsheet right now. So I'm probably the worst guest you've had, because I'm like admitting that, hey, I'm not always a systems guy in that traditional sense, but I do realize that without systems and some of those details in place, you can't do the big ideas, because there's lots of dreamers out there that have all these ideas and they can't get anything going on, no action. So what I do whenever I get a content idea, before it slips out of my mind and up into the air, I make sure I get it down on paper in my iPhone on a note there, or I get it somewhere. And often my ideas hit me at the most inconvenient times. You're in the shower or you're going for a walk.
Where's you are?
Yeah. Because you're taking pressure off yourself. If you sit in front of a blank screen and think, I got to come up with content, that's putting a lot of pressure on your shoulders. If you're in the shower or you're going for a walk in nature, that you're taking the pressure off and the ideas bubble out. So you got to make sure that you jot them down right away. Don't overthink it. I am not a perfectionist. So when I put something out there, I want it to be good, but I'm not polishing it so it's a 10 out of 10 all the time.
Mark, on your website, it's when you tell your story that you talk about business closure and challenges that would have caused most to give up. Could you tell our audience about a time when things really got out of hand, like the emotions ran so intense that you either finally decided that you need a system in place or you finally decided to change something? And what was it and what difference did it make?
Well, to make a really, really long story short, in the interest of time, I had 10 years in real estate where it was nothing but success, grow, 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 and didn't have any stumbles, any failures. It was great. And then I went through two business closures, not one, but two, in 2009 and 2012, and both in real estate. And after the 2012 closure, I thought, you know what? This is stupid. I'm not having fun. I don't enjoy real estate. It's not like I want to be doing this when I'm 75 years old. Why the heck am I doing this? So my mistake was that I tied my identity to real estate and to a business, which you should never do. You're not your business, even though it feels that way because you're spending so much time in it. And it just, the light bulb went off in my mind. And I thought, you know what? I'm not a real estate guy. I don't want to do this. And I'm going to do something else. Now, I had a period of time in between late 2012 and early 2014, so about a year or so, that I was, I say, in the wilderness trying to figure out my way. And that's where I was helped by several coaches and mentors in that time. And that's what got me into starting a coaching business in the beginning of 2014. And I'm so grateful for that, because we wouldn't be talking here today. I'd be selling houses in New Brunswick, Canada, and probably miserable. So I'm very happy that it worked out that way. But that was a change that I made, and it took a little bit of time to see the light, but it happened, and I'm grateful that it did.
Me too, because I really enjoy your content. You know, this podcast is about exploring the intersection of emotional well-being and structure. So I wonder, could you share with us if there was a certain flow to your new coaching business, or a certain, I guess, new way of going through your day after you've made this decision and after you started building the business? On a mindset and emotional level, how did it feel differently?
Well, I'm really grateful that I started my coaching business, because frankly, I was going nuts in that time between real estate and coaching, because I'm so used to go, go, go 100 miles an hour, used to working a lot, pushing hard for my goals. And then all of a sudden it was like, bang, it's like you hit a brick wall, you know, the crash test dummies in the cars when they do the task, you hit the brick wall and you got nothing to do. And there's that period of time in between that I was actually over-motivated. So what I did was, after real estate, I dove into motivational materials and books even more than usual. I always read the books and watched videos, everything else. Suddenly I had all this extra time that I just, I say I almost overdosed on Napoleon Hill and all these Tony Robbins and Dale Carnegie and Zig Ziglar or whatever. So I felt kind of like a car that was up on a block in a garage and its wheels are spinning, but it's off the ground, so it can't go anywhere because I didn't have anywhere to pour all that energy in because I didn't have a business. So the cool thing with coaching is it suddenly, if we're using that metaphor, got that car on the ground and gave me something to put my energy into with growing a new business. And that's where it was important. I don't work well with no systems. And I went for years with systems in real estate that didn't have any systems where I suddenly, a lot of people think, oh, it's great. You got nothing to do. Relax and chill out and catch your breath or whatever. No, I didn't like that. I'm like, I had less energy actually in that time between the two businesses after the business closure. You would think I would have more. I had a lot less energy. I get more energy when I've got something I'm building towards and goals I'm striving for. I say coaching saved my life, and it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but in a lot of ways, the coaching business did save my life because I was going crazy without it.
I don't think you're exaggerating. I think there are certain aspects of our well-being that, in a sense, are being underestimated. And if you don't take good care of them, be it just channeling your energy into a new business or starting exercising because otherwise you can't keep depression at bay, if you don't maintain these aspects, if you don't pour yourself into them, your life is very likely to go, you know, through the downward spiral. So I completely understand how you say that your coaching business saved your life. I have a question, though. Speaking of this mind-altering, life-changing transition, when we talk about emotions in business, there are certain emotions that help us propel our business forward and other emotions that keep us on our tracks. And you probably deal with it more than most because you coach coaches. You help them. Not only you work with coaches, which is a very emotional line of work, in my view, you also help people build their businesses, which is another kind of a roller coaster. So you must be very well versed in this landscape. And from your experience, what emotions help us push forward, help us build, and which emotions hinder us? And how do you even deal with that? Like, where do you even begin?
Well, I'll tell you a story, something happened recently, probably about a year ago. Someone, an acquaintance in the coaching world who I know, I've had her on my podcast. I've done joint ventures. I've been an affiliate for her. We've had a good business relationship. Reached out to me and she said, Mark, I have someone who wants to be a guest on your podcast, a friend of mine. And anyways, I said, I'm really sorry, but my show is booked solid. And my coach friend continued to message me, God, every couple days, hey, Mark, checking in, can I get her on your show?
Wow.
No, answer still the same. I'm booked solid, but thank you for asking. And I finally had to say, look, no, I can't. I have no spots in my show. She said, well, what am I supposed to do, Mark? I promised her I would get her on your show. And I said, you're going to have to tell her that you can't. I don't think I'm being mean here. I'm just, it is what it is, you know? This coaching acquaintance who, like I said, I've been an affiliate for, I've made, I think, probably a fair bit of money for and helped her, went on to unfriend me from Facebook. And Mark is a big meanie. He's a jerk. I'm done. I'm unfriending him and thinking that that's going to bother me. She displayed a couple things. First of all, she's too emotional for business, I would argue, if she gets offended by hearing no. I'm not going to let your friend on my podcast at this moment because that's not, I don't think anything that's being cruel. It's just me putting boundaries out there and being very to the point. And she's going to have to get a thicker skin if she wants to make it in business, because if she gets upset about that, she's screwed. That experience with me is pretty low on the totem pole for what you can run into in business. So I would say for emotions, one thing that entrepreneurs have to have is you can't be too, I don't know what emotion that would be, touchy-feely, sensitive. And I know there's a lot of empaths in the coaching world that soak in a lot of different energies and stuff like that, but you're going to have to definitely toughen up. And by the way, this isn't a female thing. She was a female, but I've seen men that are snowflakes as well. So it goes both genders. And unfortunately, you can't take things seriously. People are going to tell you no in business, and you can't get your panties in a bunch and take your ball and go home crying. It's just, you're not going to make it if you're that sensitive.
So you're talking on the other hand, like the flip side of that, if you want to succeed in business, you need a certain level of resilience.
Yeah, you do. unfortunately, in the coaching world, you have a lot of people that are thinking that they're wearing rose-colored glasses. They think everyone should love each other and, you know, the universe, law of attraction, and all this other stuff. And, hey, it's business at the end of the day. Now, it's probably not as cutthroat as real estate was. I always say with real estate, the nice one stabbed you in the front, not in the back. It's pretty cutthroat. Coaching isn't like that, but it's still real life business. People are trying to grow their business. They're trying to hopefully make a profit and so on. And you're going to butt heads against some people. And this goes back to what we talked about before. A lot of people aren't treating it like a business. That's going to be their undoing. So you have to, you got to toughen up, treat it like a business and not get offended over perceived slights or even real slights.
There's a wonderful saying, I think it was by Bill Gates, that success is very dangerous. It makes young men think they cannot fail. And it kind of goes with what you say. If you are in business and if you want to make a living and make it sustainable without burning out, you have to prepare yourself for the fact that not everybody is always going to grant your wishes. Even people who love you, by the way. Even people who are really into helping you, it's not always going to happen. Thank you for that. Let's keep going. Is there a system that you swear by? One. System. Maybe it's about money. Maybe it's, you know, your morning rituals. Something that you completely swear by and you think your life would be vastly different without.
Well, for me, online calendar would be a huge one. I'd be lost without it. And I still can't understand why a lot of online entrepreneurs don't have an online calendar. God, there's even free versions that you can get. The one I have is 20-some bucks a month, but it's excellent. I use Schedule Once. Mm-hmm. I know there's others like Calendly. That's free. Just get something. But I've seen people say, oh, I don't use online calendars. And I'm going to keep it real with you, just, you know, to be open and honest. For this interview, I got a reminder yesterday. Mark, you got your interview with Marina. And I thought, oh, geez. And I looked, I didn't have it in my calendar from the original time when I booked with you. So thank God you use a booking system that sends a gentle reminder. That I can't remember the last time that happened. Usually I put it right something into my phone if I'm booking it with someone else, or I automatically book it where it gives the option. But whatever happened, it didn't get put into my calendar the first time. But you have a good booking system which sends a reminder. Here I am today. Now, if you weren't using a booking system, you'd be sitting here thinking, where the heck is Mark? Did he forget about me, right? I've been on message threads before where I'll connect two people and I'm still on the message thread on Facebook and I'm there. I see their conversation going back and forth to try to book a time to connect on Skype or Zoom. And it's like negotiating a Middle East peace treaty to go back and forth 10 different times. And I said to one of my clients once, I said, God, get an online calendar. My phone was just blown up, ding, 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 from these two people. They're across the world from each other trying to book a simple call. It took them, God, a couple hours.
And yeah, there's no peace in the Middle East, as far as I know, still.
No one has time for that. So I would venture to say if you don't have an online calendar, you're not a serious entrepreneur. And I know some people would say, well, I'm old school. I like to use scraps of paper. I like to talk to people or whatever. No, if you're not using an online calendar, you're not, either not a serious entrepreneur, or you're not serious about your own growth, or you like working a lot more than you have to, I guess. I would love to have a debate with somebody that would try to defend that. One of these people that don't use online calendars that wanted to defend their position. We should do that on your show. You find somebody that's old school, doesn't use online calendars, and I'll come back. We'll do a debate because I don't know how they could defend that practice unless they say, I want to waste a bunch of time and be unproductive. It makes no sense.
As you speak, I'm trying to think about people who I know who would defend this kind of position.
I know what they'll say. They'll say, well, I like to talk to people. It's so impersonal to send people to a link. I like to talk to them and build rapport and build a relationship. And
I all this. Honestly, can't think about a single person that is A, still uses scraps of paper, and B, doesn't want to change. And if these people exist, and I'm sure they do, I guess I have this aura that I reject them like the, you know, the wrong pole of the magnet.
Yeah.
They just don't gravitate toward me because
I think podcast hosts have a higher percentage of online calendars because they have to, right? When they're booking the interviews. I would say that fewer than 50% of coaches use them. And I would say it's probably under a third if we did an actual study. And I know this because a lot of the people that work with me, a lot of the new coaches, I'm working a lot with coaches that are newer or they're in their first year or two. A lot of them don't have online calendars when they first come to me. And I say, that's what you got to do. That's just like setting up your PayPal, right? And that's a foundation. You need that for your business. And so I see it every day. I would say about a third of the coaches who hire me have an online calendar. Two thirds don't when they first hire me.
It makes sense when you talk about this because people who come into coaching in the first place, at least in my experience, they have this huge heart and they really want to serve others. Like very few coaches go into coaching because they want to make millions. Like some, I guess, do, but it's a very heart-centric profession. It has this aura of helping others first and foremost. So there's this tension between I'm all heart and I have a system and I view my business as a business on the other hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, tell us about your next or your existing exciting project and where can we find you?
Projects. Well, I mentioned my Alexa flash briefing. That's kind of cool. I'm actually in the process of writing my first quote real book. I've had other books that are ebooks or so, but this is the first one you can actually hold in your hands. So I'm working on that. And that's a big project this year. And to answer your question, where can you find me? My Facebook group is probably the best way. thecoachingjungle.com will forward you to the Facebook group. thecoachingjungle.com or the main website's naturalborncoaches.com.
Thank you. And I want to add, do come to the Coaching Jungle. It's one of the most engaged groups out there. It's not like one of those 10,000 people and self-promoting threads every Friday and nobody really pays any attention to what you have to say. It's also not one of these dead groups that are quote unquote intimate with three people who just talk about their problems all day long. It's really an amazing blend of both Mark's experience and expertise and like his gooey wisdom every day and people interacting with each other. You know, they're like actually having conversations that are meaningful for them.
I put a poll up the other day asking if you had a choice of a mentor between Gary Vaynerchuk or Tim Ferriss. Who would you choose? And we have hundreds and hundreds of answers in that poll and hundreds of comments. And it's getting a little bit, and I want there to be debate. I don't want everyone just to agree with me, but I had some people say, wait a minute, Mark, that's sexist. There's no women in this poll. I'm thinking,
dude,
come on. I said, there's also no left-handers. I'll make sure my next poll has a left-hander, so I'm not discriminating against left-handers. I said, geez, like, but I mean, I don't want to delete those comments just because those people I think were being a little silly. I liked the debate that went back and forth, got into a whole bunch of different stuff, and it was interesting. And I want the group to be like that. I don't want it to be a bland, boring. You know, a lot of people online are just, they're in the mushy middle. They don't want to offend people. So all their content sounds like just generic blog post type stuff you see all over the place or motivational quotes, stuff like that. I'm not afraid to mix it up. I would rather get a debate going, get ideas flowing around. If I ruffle a few feathers, awesome. That means more people are engaged and they're getting in there. It's not a safe zone. So if you want to go in there and if you get easily offended, you're probably best to stay out, just being honest.
No, it's great. When I saw that poll, I actually told my husband about it. I said, you know, he really made me think. I have a very clear answer to that. We'll leave it out of the podcast because Gary Vee and Tim Ferriss, in my view, they represent vastly different approaches to life. But this is just the taste of Mark's group. So .coachingjungle.com, come hang out. And Mark, thank you so much for being here. Listeners, we'll have links in the show notes, and we'll see you next episode.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Systems Meet Humanity. There are show notes and goodies at systemsmeethumanity.com. We'd love your support. Subscribe, leave us a review, share, tell the world. I'm Maria Darlow, and I'll talk to you next week.